everybody. You are listening to Nocturnal Distractions, and I don't know if anyone's noticed, but it's been a bit since I've recorded an episode, and I apologize again for like the 8th time. But life is a bitch, and that's how I'm going to leave that. Second of all, this is going to be a re-recording of part one of the Anna Kriegel case. So I will be deleting the first episode I recorded. And this one fits into that level 3 on the 22 level gradations of evil scale. And just because it's been so long and it didn't seem right to jump into part 2 when such a huge time gap has happened. And I also wanted to record this part again because April is back with me.
Hey guys. Yeah.
And so jumping into that second part of a two-parter would have been really, really confusing to her.
Very, very confusing.
So she is back as my co-host, but in a different sort of a role than in season one, because this time I will be telling the cases to her. She will be reacting to them since I'm the actual true crime junkie between us. And we are hoping that this change will take any the pressure off of her that she felt happy to do research and trying to get episodes ready. And it was a lot. And it will make me more accountable to actually, record episodes on a regular basis. Plus, sitting in my empty apartment in the middle of the night talking to myself about murder was kind of awkward.
Right.
And since April is not as big of a true crime enthusiast as I am, she will be able to ask some of the questions and get clarification on points that I might not think about, that others might have questions on also. So there's that.
Right.
Thanks for joining me.
Yes, thanks for having me back. You know, like you said, like, life is a bitch. And man, I just wanted to do it so perfectly that, and I had no idea what I was doing. And it really, I didn't want to fuck up, right? Mm-hmm. And I was, oh, and it was pressure. And I was excited and I wanted to be enthusiastic. Yeah. And I couldn't live up to this crazy expectation I had on my head. And let's face it, you are the researcher. You know how to do that stuff and you're beautiful at it. And I react to things and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's our role.
So that's how we're going to try this time. So that way she can just be herself and not have that pressure on top of her to like, oh my gosh, I got to reset. I got to do this. I got to figure out that.
Yeah.
Plus, let's face it, I'm the one that came up with this crazy series that we're doing right now.
Right? So here we're going to do it the right way, the way we, well, maybe the right way is, you never know, but yeah, I'm super grateful.
We're going to see how this goes. And like I said, hopefully this will keep me more on track to consistently record episodes and not have, I don't know, a 4-month hiatus in here
right. With
nothing and leaving you guys all hanging on like
nothing.
Part one of a two-parter.
Right. And I missed that. I didn't know all of the, what is it, the Instagram and all of that stuff, but I missed hearing about it and I missed seeing the growth and hearing about everybody that you were in contact with. And it gave me I just missed you.
I know. And it was, like I said, it's not as much fun when you're just talking to yourself. Like, I like talking about true crime. I like telling other people about it. So I'm not as enthusiastic when I'm just by myself.
Right. There's no conversation. There's
And it's really hard to get motivated to like actually record.
Right. You're like, great. I'm going to go talk to myself.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't really want to. And there's nobody holding me accountable for it.
Right.
That type of a thing.
And
so
yada, yada, yada.
That. But, you know, I just looked at our analytics for the first time in like 4 months today. And we are over, I don't know, 3,000 plays still and have a decent following.
Right.
As far as I could tell. So hopefully we'll start gaining momentum on that. We've actually cracked over 850 followers on Instagram somehow.
Well, that's cool.
Considering I haven't put anything out in 4 months.
Well, here we go.
Apparently, I looked interesting enough to them, so we're just going to go with that. Okay, so we're going to begin here. So if you guys had already listened to the first episode of this part one, let's just forget that one because it's going to go away. I'm hoping this one's going to go better and it's going to not be so like, I was last time.
Love you.
So let's begin.
So this is a rewind.
Yeah. Please erase out of your mind everything that you have heard previous to this point.
Okay. We're just going to Bill and Ted your asses, all right?
Okay, so again, though, I would like to give a huge thank you to Dennis from the podcast Something Strange for bringing this case to my attention as a possible fit for level 3 on the scale of evil. And it is, in my mind, it fits really, really well. The suggestion that he gave me made it way easier than having to start finding a case from scratch, because if you have listened to like level 1 and 2, those episodes, you'll have heard me talk about how hard it is to actually find cases to fit those particular ones. Because when somebody isn't that evil, it's actually harder to find the case because it doesn't make the news. It doesn't make, you know, headlines. You can't find information. Like when it's a self-defense case, it's super hard to find stuff.
Right. I'm super interested in this, like, we're now leveling evil. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
when he told me about that, I was like,
he did that, was because he's hoping one day it will help juries and judges and stuff decide like punishments and like how much to hold somebody responsible and
right. Punishment fit the crime,
yeah,
type thing
and different things. But he also is very well aware that there's so many different variations, and so for him to be able to even have just to narrow some of it down to 22 levels, and he has admitted like there's cases out there that don't fit quite right.
Right.
But here's a starting point.
Right.
Because if we can start to try to understand these people, then that gives us a better ability to maybe try to prevent the things from happening before they happen.
Right. And
just having a better understanding.
And you know, I'm the kind of person who wants to know the genealogy behind genealogy, right? And he just wants to know. Mm-hmm. And I hope he finds his answer. I don't know if there is one, though.
And the thing is, like, I mean, you have to remember, he is a forensic psychologist, forensic psychologist. So this is his life study. This is what he does. He interviews people who have committed crimes. And so he had to sit and try to put correlations between different things. And then he had to look at the public and be like, okay, so what's the definition of evil? What is a, you know, in a time of peace, as he says, it's not including war crimes or anything like that. It's like, what does the average person consider evil type of a situation? And it's usually stuff that shocks us, makes us like recoil, that type of a thing. And then it's like a matter of how much we recoil and like what the circumstances behind it is.
Wow. So I'm super excited. I really am.
It'll be interesting.
All right. So what do we got here, Miss Kendra?
Well, so first of all, keep in mind that this case does take place in Ireland.
Which is my favorite place in the entire world.
So if I butcher any of the words or names or things, Dennis did help do his best to help me. And if I can't get the words that come out of my mouth correctly, just because my mouth doesn't work correctly.
Right. And who's Dennis?
He is the host of a podcast called Something Strange. He actually lives in Ireland.
Nice. We're recording at my apartment, my new apartment that I got all by myself. And the neighbors just came home with the dogs.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But he lives in Ireland. And so he suggested it to me. He wasn't really wanting to ever cover it because it happened so very close to like where he actually lives. Because you guys have to understand that Ireland is about the size of Nebraska.
Right.
And so it takes about 4 hours to drive from one side of the country to the other. And I know that we in the United States tend to forget how big
we
the
are.
United States is. And so like when something like this happens, like the whole country knows about it. And especially when it happens close to where you are. And
right.
But he's like, hey, I think that this is one that would probably fit into this next level.
That's cool. Well, thank you very much, Dennis. Mm-hmm.
So again, this is going to be a two-parter. And I felt, because I felt in order to really explain everything I needed to, it was either going to be a really long episode or a two-parter. And I know people have various opinions on that. Some people like really long episodes. Some people would rather have a two-parter. So I just felt like a two-parter would be good.
So we're parting at twos.
Mm-hmm. So since it's been a bit, though, I'm going to do a recap on what level 3 on the evil scale entails.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So here's a brief description. I'll get a little more into it. So the brief description is willing companions of killers, crimes of impulse, particularly violent and carried out by a person, or in this case, persons, with antisocial aspects in their personalities. The perpetrators of these crimes will also be more likely than those discussed in the previous two levels, because it includes some planning after the fact. So often they try to hide the evidence of what they have done, but their violence, since it may have come from an impulsive action, it's as though they were surprised and alarmed at their own or another's violence and realize they could get into trouble, so they do their best to hide the crime and escape punishment. But
so they kind of like blackout rage. Like all of a sudden they're like blow, and then they wake up and they're like,
realize,
oh, fuck.
But then they realize I did something wrong. I need to try to hide this stuff. While in the previous two levels, it was they didn't try to hide it. Like the self-defense one called the cops right away, said this is what happened, you know. The second one, it was a crime of passion. He walked right up to the dude marrying his ex-girlfriend that had just broke up with him, and he walked up to him, stabbed him right in the heart, walked down the street, called the cops, turned himself in, you know, that type of a thing. So like they weren't trying to cover it up, it wasn't premeditated, like nothing. But this is more along the lines of like they may not have had it in their head that they were going to commit a violent crime, but then they did, and now they're trying to cover it up, but they're not very good at it.
I gotcha.
So
for me, it's like in their mind, they had daydreamed about doing this. You know what I mean? And then because they had thought about it so much, impulsively, here it is. And then they do it. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm. And this is one where, since you've got that willing, unwilling companion that may not have known what was going to happen, but they still have a part in it.
Mm.
And so then they have to try to cover it up too. So these actions, therefore, are not purely impulsive, such as we might see in like a barroom thing where people are drunk. They knock a chair over somebody's head, killing them. You know, it's impulsive, but it's not completely impulsive. Like there's some thought in the back of their head because they have those antisocial traits.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Another feature of the persons found in this level 3 of evil is that they are not career criminals. Even though they may have those antisocial traits, their crimes are often one-off, so they're unique acts that occur once in their lifetime. And those who know them are going to say they acted out of character. Neighbors and acquaintances would be quoted as saying, I can't believe he did that. It's one of those things like, what happened?
Right.
So the very impulsive nature of the violence in these cases usually coincide with carelessness. One might even say sloppiness in the attempt at concealment of the perpetrator's crime. Or they may make no super attempt to conceal it because they weren't anticipating having to at first.
Right. It's like fantasy come true.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh,
is this real or not?
Oh, crap. Now all of a sudden, like all these thoughts flow into their head. Like I can get caught. I can get in this much trouble. I need to try to do this. But it's not calculated, it's not planned out, so it's sloppy.
Wow.
So you will find, I hope, that this case is what I consider to be obviously the clear-cut killer, and the willing companion, even though the companion never fully admits that he was, but who does? Who would admit that, right? If there's not any like hard evidence against them, they're not gonna completely just be like, oh yeah, I was a willing companion.
Right. If you don't have to, why?
Exactly. And so we're gonna begin. So we're gonna take a trip outside the United States for this one. Visiting again Ireland.
Oh my god, I love that you're doing Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I was Irish. I think that I might be. Okay, sorry, go on.
Well, you do have kind of red hair.
I know, my mom, red hair, freckles.
Okay. There you go.
She was adopted. Okay, go on. Sorry, I just want to be.
So, we're going to go back to 2018. So Thursday, May 17th, 2018 is a date that will be remembered by many of the citizens of Ireland for many years to still come. for more than one reason. 3 days earlier, on the evening of May 14th, 14-year-old Anna Kriegel had gone missing from her home after a teen boy stopped by asking her to come hang out with him. Her father had not expected her to be gone long, but by the time her mother returned home from work and hadn't been able to get a hold of her on her phone, which was very unusual, obviously teenagers attached to their phone.
So what was that? How long? How many hours or whatever?
Like at that point, I think when she left and then when her mom got home and they started realizing like nobody knows where she is, 4 or 5 hours probably.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. And the evening had just started getting dark when they finally reported her missing. So not much time because they knew this was totally out of her character, like to just
go.
3 days later, they received the news that no parent ever wants to get. Like, and I hope that any of you out there that are parents never have to get this news at all. But Anna had been found murdered in an abandoned house near a park that was located not far from their home.
Oh my God.
So, and if the brutal murder of this young girl wasn't bad enough of a blow, the next blow would come when the suspects in her murder were arrested. The shocking part, both suspects were only children themselves, 13-year-old boys. 13. So 1 year younger than Anna herself. And even worse, if it could get any worse, they were classmates of Anna's.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yep. So like, when I think about that, like my daughter's 15. So like 2 years ago when the boys were 30, like I can't even imagine that. Yeah.
I have something to say, but like. Her classmates, yep. And probably since Ireland's so small and the communities mm-hmm. and stuff, they probably kindergarten.
Probably. And not only that, I mean, she went with him. She knew him.
Ooh. And the dad was like, okay. So mm-hmm. the dad must have known.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Exactly. So it's just like one of those things where it's like, what the heck? So this also made them, the two suspects, the youngest in the history of Ireland to be arrested and charged with first degree murder.
Oh, wow.
So in 2018.
Dude, this was just recent. Mm-hmm.
Another fun fact. Interesting. The youngest person in American history to be charged with first degree murder was also 12 or 13. But it was in 1858 because that's America. Because
that's America for you.
Okay, so and then also given their ages at the time of the crime, not only were they not named when arrested, but their names are to be forever protected under penalty of law in Ireland and everywhere else. I don't know their names. Nobody knows their names. So while I didn't look too in-depth for their names, I am curious, of course, so I did kind of look. But then I found all these stories about people who had released their names and the trouble they got into, and I don't want to piss off Ireland. So yeah. I stopped at that point.
Okay, so I'm sure a process of elimination if you wanted to know, like,
yeah, and I'm sure people
down.
Who live in Ireland probably kind of know, but they don't say anything, they don't release, they don't talk about it. They're protected under law under very harsh punishment.
Is it because they're children?
Yes, but that's one part that I kind of find interesting. Let me see. Therefore, I will be referring to them in this episode and then the next part as Boy A and Boy B. That's how they're referred to in any of the cases, study any of the stuff that I've watched, etc. That itself is the first part of this crime that really kind of struck me. Of course, it's terrible for any other child to kill another child. But the way the case is actually handled in Ireland is so vastly different from how it would be handled here in the US and other places that I found myself by both the crime itself, them, and the legal process that is followed, because like I said, here in America, like I know that there's been killers that young. I mean, there was a 14-year-old who killed his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You knew his name right away. There was an 8-year-old who killed a 4-year-old. You know, we don't hide their names.
No,
but,
we don't.
And other countries don't either, but here, like,
we put it everywhere because, like, death and gruesomeness and mm-hmm. just tragedy is something that we just love to watch.
Well, that, and I think that, like, when it's a more of a high profile case, like with the student and the teacher, I mean, people want to know who did it.
Right.
Like, it's hard to keep that a secret. But like here, nope.
No, we
don't
care.
They're protected. Their names will never be released. So like I said, anything is just boy A and boy B.
Okay.
And then
do they like, do that with adults too? Or is it
nope,
just
it's okay. just because they're juveniles basically because of how young they were.
Okay.
And that's just how they did it. Or that's how they do it in Ireland. And the way that they go about interviewing them and
more respectful than
getting
we
their
are
statement,
here.
It's very different than here.
Okay.
And but that will be more in the second
okay.
part.
I'm excited about that too.
Yeah. It is.
Am I gonna fall even more in love with Ireland?
Maybe, maybe not, because it's one of those things where I go back and forth because they treat them nicer, but at the same time they killed somebody.
Right.
So it's you might go back and forth like I kind of did when I was researching it.
Okay.
But let's start back at the beginning before we reach the end. And the beginning starts with a 14-year-old girl named Anna Kriegel. And I really want to focus on her during part one so you know who she is and how her life and how she lived it instead of only knowing the awful way it ended.
Right.
So part two is going to be more covering their interrogations and the actual prosecution.
Okay.
While this part's just going to be talking about Anna and her life and what kind of leads up to that point.
Okay.
So, Anna Kriegel. Anna's full first name is actually she's Russian, actually, so it's either Anastasia or Anastasia.
It's Anastasia.
Probably. I went back and forth on that when I recorded this the first time. So we're just going to go with Anastasia, and I'm sorry if I got that wrong. But she was born in Russia on February 18th, 2004. At around 2 years old, her mother actually put her up for adoption, and that's when she was adopted by her parents, Geraldine and Patrick Kriegel. So Geraldine was actually an Englishwoman, and Patrick was a Frenchman, and the two of them wanted a child, but like a lot of other people, they weren't able to have one themselves, so they decided to adopt. As soon as they found Anna, they were over the moon. You know, they were happy. And after adopting Anna, the family moved to Ireland, specifically County Kildare, where she
so
was
they're not native. Mm-mm. Okay.
Where she was raised for the rest of her life. And even though her adoptive parents didn't have any links to Russia themselves, they wanted to make sure that Anna always felt in touch with her roots all of her life, which is why they kept her name of Anastasia instead of changing it to something else.
Right.
And as she was growing up, they tried to keep her Russian culture and her heritage very much a part of her identity.
That's awesome.
You know, and that unfortunately does not mean that Anna's life was easy, not because of her adoptive parents, but there's just other situations. Due to being adopted at the age of two from Russia, this caused the first of many issues that Anna would struggle with. She had to play catch up with her English-speaking peers. Mm. Because even though she was only two, that can still hinder a child's communication with other children because she didn't know the language.
Right. And the accent.
Mm-hmm. And just a new
customs and mm-hmm. the way.
But like that language barrier, even at the age of two, was big. And I can see that because I know my own daughter, by the time she was three, she was a very good speaker. She could talk a mile a minute. So
right. And when you go, especially when you go from country to country, like mm-hmm. whether she would have come here or wherever, there's the, the not just the language that you mm-hmm. dialect, but our ebonics, the mm-hmm. way that we
yeah.
slang.
Yes.
Those kind of
ebonics.
Things. Ebonics. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And yep. so.
And then when she doesn't have anybody else that speaks Russian, I mean, like I know around here we have a lot of
interpreters?
Spanish-speaking people that come over, but they usually have other Spanish-speaking children with them in their class, so they have at least somebody to connect to while they're learning English, mm-hmm. while she didn't.
Oh, wow. And her parents didn't know?
Well, no, because one was English and one was
yeah, wow.
you know, French, and so it was just...
It was difficult.
That was a hard start at the beginning, too. And this problem was compounded by a physical illness that plagued Anna in her childhood years. At one point, she had actually developed a tumor behind her right ear, and she had to have a 6-hour surgery to remove it. So even though the tumor was removed, it had caused a lot of hearing loss to the point she was almost fully deaf in her right ear, which obviously made the language barrier issue worse, along with interacting normally with others, as she would always have to walk or stand on people's left side as a result.
Was this a bullying situation?
Not the tumor part, no.
No, no, no.
It gets kids. There.
Oh.
Yeah. So I should have done. I'm sorry. I always forget this part. I was thinking about it on the way over. So here's a trigger warning. Not really late, but kind of late. This episode does discuss bullying, mental illnesses, suicidal thoughts, self-harm,
things of that sort. Okay.
So if that's not something that you guys want to listen to, if that's something that's going to trigger you in some way, please, by all means, go ahead, skip the next couple episodes and join us on the level 4.
Right. Okay.
But yeah. So, like I said, if it's bad enough, she didn't know the language. Now she's basically deaf in one ear. And there's a one time this past few months or not few months, a little while back, where like my left ear like got impacted with like gunk or something. And like it would get more and more muffled every day. And I thought it was going deaf. So like I had to have people on this side of me or I could not hear them.
Wow.
So finally I went to the doctor because, you know, I was terrified that I was going deaf and I didn't want to hear it. Well, it's just they had to irrigate my ears out.
Right.
And there's no rhyme or reason to why it happened. I don't use Q-tips and don't shove wax in my ears or anything else. And I ask them, well, is it because I wear earbuds a lot? And they're like, sometimes it just happens.
That is so weird. And then this is the case that you pick. Yeah. It's like the universe does awesome things.
Yeah, but so I understand, like, I can't even imagine how that would be right at that age and everything else. Like, it was so frustrating for me to, like, be like, what? You got to talk on this ear type of a thing. So
that
sucks. On top of this, she also had poor eyesight and a scar on the back of her head from the surgery, along with another on her chin from a time she fell as a young child. And this next part, I don't know for sure because a few of the sources that I referenced said different things, but one said it was believed that the tumor behind her ear may have actually caused the eyesight issue that then needed corrected, but don't quote me on that. So already she's got different health problems,
right?
You know, just to start out with, which is not good. I mean, along with those physical issues, Anna also struggled with learning as she had some short-term memory issues. So I'm assuming some kind of learning disability. Needless to say, her childhood was not easy. And even so, for most of primary school, Anna was a happy pupil. Despite struggling with those variety of health issues, she was always very happy. Always.
Right. So, did she have friends? Many friends?
We're going to get into that. Yeah, I know. I know. It's okay. It's sad. Despite her cheeriness, however, she was savagely bullied inside and outside of school. Above all she wanted was friends her own age that weren't her cousins that were related to her, but she had very few.
Right.
And because of that, Anna's emotional problems began to appear as primary school came to an end. And then I'm going to go off on another kind of explanation here. So keep in mind that primary school in Ireland ends in what is called sixth class, which would be the same as sixth grade here in the United States. So those of you outside the United States, just so you know, primary school in the U.S. is known as elementary school and ends with fifth grade.
Right.
As far as I know, it's like that in all the states. And then middle school here is sixth grade through eighth grade, and high school is ninth through 12th grade. I know educational systems, grades, and classes are varied by country, but I just wanted to kind of give people an idea of where she was at in her life.
Right. So she would have been in middle school then.
She would have, I mean, it would have been like being in sixth grade. So around 10, 11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's the end of primary school for them.
Well, didn't she get murdered when she was 14?
Yes.
So that would have been middle school then.
When she got
murder. Okay. So what is that called? Or am I jumping ahead now?
It's all
okay. Sorry.
let's
see.
As Anna's emotional issues continued, they soon seemed to spiral like kind of out of control. And on one occasion, her parents were actually alerted that Anna had told one of her teachers that she was feeling suicidal. So, as she entered her teens, she also suffered from yet another health issue. Mm. This one was a physical one, and it was a very painful condition, sometimes seen in adolescence, and it occurs when their bones grow faster than their muscles. Mm. So despite all those hardships, though, she was very excited about going to secondary school. That's what they call
secondary
it.
School.
But her parents and even teachers were really worried. Anna's resource teacher told Geraldine and Patrick, her parents, that she was terrified for her because she was so innocent. She feared other students would take advantage of this. And Anna was just a really kind girl who trusted everyone without question. And a lot of that probably had to do with her just deep desire to make friends with anyone.
Right. She's like, I just want to be wanted and loved.
Yeah. And I can totally relate to that because I was the same way. I mean, luckily I did make friends, but I trusted without hesitation. I was nice to everybody, that type of a thing. And that can lead to not.
So what was the physical,
I don't know what her bones called, but it was like her bones grew faster than her muscles.
All right. So what does that look like?
I think it kind of just means that, like, obviously your muscles are kind of attached to your bones. So if your bones are going faster than your muscles, it's pulling the muscles.
Right.
So it just hurts.
So people couldn't see it, but.
Yes, but it caused a lot of physical pain.
That's okay. So my kid's super fucking tall, right? Aubrey's a freshman and she's at 6'1". Logan is just as fat. He's knock-kneed. My grandma was knock-kneed because they were just growing. And I remember Logan having. Oh my God. Okay.
So issues like that. Another reason she was bullied in primary school is due mainly to the fact that she was so much taller than any of the other girls, not to mention the boys. Cause let's face it, when you're that age, like sixth grade here in the United States, you know that the girls are always way taller than the boys because puberty hits different.
Right. But around seventh grade, the girls stop and the boys start.
I think it's more like eighth. It's not even until high school almost anymore.
Right.
Maybe. But like, so she was taller than everybody. And Anna was a typical Siberian, which is not to be insulting her because that's Russia has Siberia. Mm-hmm. Her mother would later say in court, strong and tall. By the time she was 13, she was 5'8" tall.
Wow.
She looked much older than her years. Her mother said she could have passed for an 18-year-old.
And I bet she was beautiful. Despite everything else, she was beautiful.
Yes, she was. She doesn't say how tall Anna would have been at age 11-ish, which is the age she would have been in sixth class. But one can imagine she would have still towered over everyone. For reference, I'm 37 years old and have been 5'4" since I was 13.
Right.
I mean, so she's just tall. Due to this, Anna didn't like her height at all. And because it made her different, it made her stand out from everyone else. And at that age, no kid wants to stand out for anything that they perceive as a bad thing, especially when she's already struggling with making friends.
And can you imagine around that boys, you know, I think men, they have a complex and they don't want a female to be taller than them.
No,
so the boys aren't going to
age and they're not comprehending that they're going to eventually shoot up to be taller than the girls. Because I remember having to explain to my daughter in middle school,
right,
like when she'd be like, oh my God, my boyfriend is so much shorter than I'm like, give it 2 years and he'll be way taller than you.
Right.
Like, it's just, that's just how it is. And then pretty soon, 2 years later, I'm like, see,
told you so, you know, not that age girls are gossiping about boys and who they think is cute. And she wasn't able to do that.
No.
Okay.
And all of this is just ridiculous because, I mean, there's pictures that I've already posted on Instagram and she was an absolutely beautiful girl. Like, there's one picture I have up there where I don't know what the context was of it, but if it was like a fashion show of some sort, because it almost looks like she's walking down a kind of runway. She's got on like this really long kind of, I think it's a silver shimmery dress, big smile, like model, just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, she was so pretty. And it's just freaking sad because she really was just gorgeous. Unfortunately, though, the teasing she endured led her to not having a lot of self-confidence, obviously. This made her even more socially awkward, and that also didn't help her make friends easily, despite her deep desire for them. She was left out of a lot of things by other kids, but the worst part is that Anna was a really nice girl who was generous and kind and only wanted the best for everyone. She just lacked social skills. And I'm sure that we've all in our lives met someone like this, right? Someone who's a really nice person, a really kind person, but can almost seem to try too hard to be friends with you or fit in with a group to the point they may seem overly clingy, for lack of a better word, because they just want a friend so desperately.
Like they're just
Just always there, and they're always like on, like they just, they don't know.
There's contact. Yes. So let's just keep this going. Right.
Yeah. And so just because she just so desperately wanted a friend, and, but I know I've known people like that.
I've been like that. Hell
yeah.
There's been moments.
It's just one of those things where it's like, oh, it's so sad. And everything that I've read about her, I get the impression that that's the way that she might have been. But it's also that no one ever actually took enough time to talk to her and to actually get to know her well enough to know who she really was, to know Anna herself.
Right. And her parents weren't from Ireland, so she wasn't. And so it's like they're, oh.
Yeah. Okay. And so, when you look at society and preteens these days, though, even if a girl thought Anna was okay and was all right and wanted to be a good friend to her, the fact that Anna was teased by others would make girls avoid her just so that they could avoid being treated the same, which is sad. And I mean, this is something I went through with my daughter again in middle school. Like, she'd be telling me about how another girl was being treated by the other girls. And I'd ask her, well, how come you don't go talk to her? Well, it's because she was afraid that if she did, then she would become a target.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make it right, but put yourself back in your,
when you're,
you know, sixth grade self, and nobody wants to be an outcast. Nobody wants to be that. But no, it's an unfortunate thing.
That's what it is. And parents out there, please talk to your fucking children about some shit. You know,
it might not do any good. Like, it didn't do a whole lot of good, but that, but try.
Right.
Just try. At least let them know, like, hey,
don't follow the crowd. Don't be sheeple.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you see somebody being bullied and you don't think it's right, do something, say something, go sit by them, whatever it
is. And that's the thing. Just go sit by them. Because I wonder how many people really wanted to be friends or wanted to sit or do something different, but they didn't know. But if one person does it and they see that it's okay to do it, most people follow.
Because usually when you have somebody who's getting bullied, if somebody stands up for them, a lot of the times, it might not happen right away, but the bullying will eventually stop because there's somebody else saying, this isn't cool, guys. So, yeah. So, anyways.
Sorry.
The situation. Oop, no. Skipped part of my notes.
Sorry, that's my fault.
No, that's all right. In fact, the bullies didn't even wait for her to start secondary school to begin with the targeting that her teachers had feared. During the summer after sixth class, before starting secondary school, Anna was bullied online, because remember, social media, by third year. So these would be like ninth graders.
Oh, shit. We got ninth. Okay.
So she would be going into seventh grade, and these would be kids that would be probably going into ninth grade. So they're between 14 and 15 years old.
Like a big age gap there.
Yeah, because she would be about 12 at the time.
Yeah.
So they started sending her sexually suggestive messages online. But the situation did not improve after she started secondary school. Not only was Anna picked on for her height and social skills, but also because she was adopted. She knew she was adopted, and everyone else knew she was from the very beginning. And they would tell her she had fake parents. Teenagers are assholes, basically.
Right, so you're rubbing in the obvious and turning it ugly. So who the fuck cares if I got fake parents? They're not fake.
It's just one of those things where it's like, let's just add on some more shit. And that's when she should have come back and been like, my parents chose me.
Right? Like, wow.
They're stuck with you without a choice. They chose me.
Did they live in a small town?
I mean, when you think about the size of Ireland. It's not very big now.
No, it can't be. What the fuck? Okay.
I don't know. I Didn't even look that up. I'm surprised. I usually do.
Right.
I'll let you know in part two.
I feel like I'm listening to a movie. Mm-hmm. But this is the things that movies are made out of. Like, okay.
Like these things, yeah. And like nearly every other teenager, Anna used social media, including Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and House Party, which is, I'm assuming, an Ireland thing, because I've never heard of that before. Mm-hmm. Her favorite thing, though, was YouTube. Her videos attracted many pleasant comments, but like anything else online, they also brought venomous comments and even threats from anonymous people. One viewer told Anna to go die.
She had a YouTube?
Yeah, because you can, anybody can make YouTube.
Right, what did she do on it? Is it
like just
like
makeup tutorials, her dancing with her cousin?
Kind of like our Snapchat, but what
TikTok.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, like that. But like anything, anonymous people, you know, keyboard warriors telling just being
stupid.
Mean. Yeah. As if things weren't weighing on the poor girl enough on Halloween. Okay, this is just a trigger warning. It's sexual assault, but it's not. It's sexual assault, but it's not rape. So, okay. But just so everyone's aware of what's coming. On Halloween in 2017, Anna was 13 at this time, and she came home hysterical and terrified. She had been walking home after volunteering at a Halloween dance for young children. Quote, she volunteered for everything, Geraldine, her mom said. When four older boys, the ages were never really said, but I'm going to guess between 16 and 17, had approached her. And keep in mind that she does look older than she is. Not that it matters, but I'm just putting in context. One asked her repeatedly for sex before grabbing her ass. Mind you, she's 13 at this time. So imagine how traumatizing that is for her when she's already being bullied. She's already got all this other stuff. And for these boys to come up and do this.
And they're probably all around her and she can only really hear at one side. So never know.
Because there's four of them, one of her, as she's walking home. Mm-hmm. Her parents helped her file a complaint with the Garda, which is their name for the police. Okay. And the boy received a caution, which is a warning by a Garda Síochána, mm-hmm. another name for the police, basically, against committing certain types of behaviors. I'm not sure. Sorry, it's been a while since I looked at this. The child, where appropriate, then is placed under the supervision of a JLO, who are specially trained officers who are assigned to work with underage offenders. It's not clear whether he was placed under this supervision or not, though. So, like, he was basically, he received a caution. I don't know exactly what that means in Ireland. I couldn't really find it, but there was a complaint filed against
him. Right. So, it's kind of like a citation, a warning,
For like a juvenile. So, it'd be like, I would assume like a,
if they were to go to the
juvenile court kind of a thing, I can't think of the word right now.
I know what you're talking about, though. You know when they send him to the boys' town?
Yeah, but I'm not sure he was actually sent anywhere. I think he was just kind of watched, maybe, right? Maybe on a probationary type of a situation. Mm-hmm. But it was never really clear on what
because they keep children.
There. Yeah.
All right.
But either way, I mean, it was reported.
On file.
Her parents took the right steps, etc. But she was endlessly bullied, her mom said. She almost always walked home alone. You would see other girls walking in groups, and Anna would be walking alone.
Was it impossible for her parents to go pick her up? Like, what's the deal here?
I think that it's close enough to their home type of a thing. But, I mean, she's bullied in school. And
so I would have made it a point to be there to pick up my fucking – I'm not blaming them.
I'm going to go with the fact that they worked. It's not always a possible thing. Mm-hmm. That's one of those coulda, shoulda, woulda. I'm sure they think about that too. I mean, but at the same time,
what's the point of going back?
And it's just, her mom said people didn't understand her. She was unique and full of fun. She couldn't hate anyone, even though some of the people were bullying her. She was disappointed with people. That happened quite regularly. She tried to make friends, but might say the wrong thing. She was a teenager. So like, she didn't hate anyone. She just was disappointed. It's like when your mom's like, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed type of thing.
She was pure, like,
mm-hmm. She was very
how we all
innocent,
should be
innocent,
right?
Just very innocent and wanting to just be kind and have a friend.
She was like you.
Thanks. I think.
Well, I mean, you're kind. It's yeah. how we should act and treat.
It is. And unfortunately, there are people in this world that don't
understand,
reciprocate yeah. those
traits.
Yes.
Characteristics. Good
Lord. Yes, that thing. And it seems that this constant bullying, along with the traumatic Halloween incident, caused Anna to begin to act out even in more worrying ways. There were fights at school, one of which resulted in a suspension.
Was it her sticking up for herself finally? Is that
but
what
here's
it was?
The thing, here's the thing. Because one day she painted a black eye on herself before going into school, and it was discovered that Anna had set up fake social media accounts that she was using to send bullying messages to herself. So that was a way of her kind of crying out for help, I think. Like attention and being like, you know,
so these kids were probably doing it so low key that like, no, this is what I'm thinking, mm-hmm. right? Like these bullies were getting away with it mm-hmm. and nobody was doing anything to
or
investigate
able
it.
To, or they were like right? the good kids and like.
So she was probably just trying to do something to make it obvious so something could be done.
Yeah.
Like, listen to me, adults.
Or it was just one of those things. It was a coping thing that was just. Not right necessarily, but like
who knows.
But as her problems grew, her parents, as any good parents would, sought outside help for her. They approached Kildare Youth Services, but at first they couldn't see Anna because she had just self-harmed. Anna had recently cut her arm with scissors, and so they referred her to Pieta House, which is a charity organization that helps people who self-harm or are in suicidal distress, where she did well. So it was like a therapy, mental health kind of a center. Staff there judged her as being at very low risk of suicide, but they still had to call her father to come and pick her up from the sessions due to her fear of being bullied if she walked home alone. So he did start picking her up from that. I don't think anyone blames her there, and I don't think her father had any issues with that. So after just 6 sessions at Pieta House, she was accepted by Kildare Youth Services, the volunteer-supported organization that she was attending at the time of her murder. Which brings us to the morning of May 14th, 2018, and the start of the day that everything would go terribly wrong. So, leaving you on that cliffhanger.
Oh, that's the end? That's where we're stopping?
That's the end of part one.
Oh, wow.
Because that leads up to the day that she goes missing.
Oh, wow.
And her life to that point.
Oh, wow.
But like I said, I really wanted to give you guys I think it's a respect thing to show her respect for her life and not just her death. Like,
right.
We shouldn't be remembering victims just in their death, like,
right, and especially one like this, because
mm-hmm, there's a lot that, I mean, all of this plays into things later in the next part because of her being bullied and her wanting friends and her just wanting to fit in with everyone,
right? And it definitely, like, especially I'm glad the bully thing, right? And mm-hmm. we're in a society today that we just slaughter
mm-hmm.
anybody who's mm-hmm. different because we don't understand it. And
we see them as different. They're different. And right? That's all that it takes for like a lot of teenagers and tweens. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. You're different.
Mm-hmm. And it starts at home. It starts at home. I know kids are cruel, mm-hmm. right? We pick on kids, mm-hmm. but I know that when your daughter was going through what, you know, mm-hmm. when she's like, oh, the girls are bullying or whatever. Mm-hmm. You sat me down and you said, now listen,
mm-hmm.
oh, sorry. I said, you gave her the, you should,
mm-hmm.
this is, you know, and she took that, and your daughter is absolutely beautiful and kind mm-hmm. today. Right now, she would have came and told you that. And you would have been like, well, yeah, just stick with dot, 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 or not even engaged with her. Then mm-hmm. an adolescent forms that opinion by themselves. Mm-hmm. And then
there's that whole thing of like these kids who were bullying her, there's a good chance that they definitely weren't communicating with their parents. And so their parents don't know. The school, even if Anna did go talk to the school, you've got another whole group of kids saying, we're not doing that. So it's hard. It's very hard. I know we tell kids all the time, like, if you're getting bullied, go tell a teacher. But if you have the other kid who is saying, I didn't do that, It's a hard thing.
And you know what's really crazy is the teacher said, I'm terrified of her, because
she's innocent and they were afraid of her being taken advantage of because of her innocence and her niceness.
Right.
But I'm not
and
sure.
And her back history. I mm-hmm. feel like it, I want to know how small the community is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like.
For part two and try to find the population.
Right. Because I feel like.
It's not huge, I know.
That teacher had an insight of what's been her past. Mm-hmm. And if the teachers did, and it was multiple. The same mm-hmm. person was probably bullying. Like people
I mean, it wasn't even necessarily one person. I mean, it was
multiple.
And so it was one of those things where I think it's very hard. If it's anything like here in the US, it's very hard to do punishments for kids. You can't do anything to punish them. You can't keep them after school. You can't do this. You can't do that. Like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And unfortunately too, what I have learned a lot of the times is people who bully are typically bullied, not all the time, but a lot of the time they're bullied at home
mm-hmm.
because the reason they bully other kids is because they're not able to control their environment at home, but they're able to control what they do at school. And it gives them back that power. It gives them back that sense of like being in control.
Yeah. But when you got the whole entire bunch. Yeah,
and that could just be like a mom mentality.
Yeah. I have, there's a person I know that his daughter is beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting bullied at school by one guy, and she comes home and the father has called the school and was like, mm-hmm. you better fucking do something because I'm gonna let my daughter just beat the shit out of him. Like, and that sucks because we don't promote violence and we don't do these things. But
I'm totally, you know, and I'm the same way. I pick up some kids after elementary school, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, and one of them, his little sister, is getting bullied. And he was talking about beating up a kid. And I'm like, well, have you tried talking? And they have. And then it's kind of like, what do I say? Like, at that point, I kind of feel like maybe they need to get beat up. You know, I don't want to say that. I don't like violence. But, like, sometimes it just gets to a point where what else is going to help?
Right.
Almost. Like, you've got to stand up for yourself. And I always told my daughter, like, use your words. Like, that. You remember that one time where she sent the girl to the hospital? No, not sent her. Remember when that girl was making fun of her and wanted to fight her and Mia sent her the address to the hospital?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. She's like, what's your home address? And so my daughter,
being
thinking
awesome.
About this all by herself, she sent her the address of our local hospital instead of our home address, obviously. And the girl just kept going, well, I'll be there in 15 minutes. And obviously never even bothered to look up the address because she never came back and said, like, it was hilarious. It really was, because
she did it smartly and wisely.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But it's,
I mean, she kept kind of arguing with him, but and I told her over and over again, like, they are doing that because you are really, really pretty and they are jealous. And I'm like, and that's something that you're probably gonna have to deal with most of your life, dear. I'm like,
and that's crazy because usually guys want to go to the beautiful.
Well, and it wasn't the guys that were bothering her, it was the girls.
No, I'm talking about in this case, you know what I mean?
And well, but like, the guys that are doing that are the ones that are older and then they're being sexually assaulted.
Right. And that's what's interesting about this. Okay. So, yes, she has a learning disability and all of these mm-hmm. issues. But physically, I'm guessing she doesn't look mm-mm. like she has these. And usually you see cases in bullying when there's,
kind of a pronounced like physical disability.
Yeah, you know?
Or something like that.
It's so, it changes the script on things, right? Because if you're beautiful, you're not, people
but
leave you alone.
You also get harassed like that a lot.
Yeah.
As grown-ups. I mean, guys on the streets. You don't want to walk down a dark street as a woman by yourself because stuff like that can happen.
Yeah.
And when she looked older than she was.
Right.
And she was very, very beautiful.
Right.
I mean, it's just, and she's so nice that she's not going to yell. She's not going to, you know, whatever. Right. She did report it, luckily. I mean, thank God. But it's just
before you had got here when we were at Casey's, right? We were talking about being outsiders. Mm-hmm. Like when you go to certain places and it seems like that town just does not, it did not accept outsiders. And she was an outsider and there was no way.
At least not the students that she was with around now. And it's so sad. I mean,
I feel like it's the town, honestly. What I'm gathering and what I'm piecing together, it's a small town. They're set in their ways. They don't like outsiders. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, so.
We'll get into it. I mean, obviously, I know what happens in part two. So I have a little bit more knowledge of what is actually behind these boys' minds and lives and
yada, yada,
what
yada,
little
yada.
Information we do have about how they've been raised and grown up. Like, it gives a little bit of insight into why they do what they do.
Nice. Okay.
So, yeah, check us out on the socials that I will hopefully be able to log into still and update.
Right.
Since it's been a slight little bit of time. I will check out the Buy Me a Coffee and make sure that's still activated for any of you who do want to do either a one-time donation to us or a monthly subscription, in which case you will get early releases of content, extra content, all that fun stuff. And any of those donations will just help us to be able to purchase research materials, books, Audible things, you know, better information than just YouTube and what I can find online from reputable sources. But any of that information, it'll be down in the show notes and along with any resources that I did use so far. I don't even know how we end this otherwise.
Thank you for having me back, and I love you, and I can't wait to see how this unfolds again.
Yep, and then we will keep going on to the rest of the levels, which will just keep getting worse and worse.
Worse and worse, but better and better.
Yeah, it'll get interesting. But if you guys are totally lost right now, go back to the beginning of season two on the first episode where it starts with level one. No, wait, sorry. Strike that, reverse it. Go back to the beginning and listen to the premiere episode where I explain this season and the actual 22 level gradations of evil scale that this doctor came up with. And I kind of go through how he decides what evil is and definitions of what a psychopath is, what psychotic is, what that type of stuff is. And then each level, I give a brief explanation as to what it involves, so you kind of know what's going on. And also keep in mind that with this series, you don't have to listen to episodes in order. Like, they're each very separate cases. So I consider it like CSI. There's a backstory, which is the 22 levels, but you can also listen to each thing separately and not be lost.
There you go.
Which is why I kind of wanted to do it like this.
Nice.
That way I don't have another, you know, 17 part Mary Beth kidding. Area thing. Oh my god, that would, yep. I didn't want to do that to you guys again. So this way you can pick and choose.
I just had this thing. Like, our first season was just like, what do we do? How are we gonna do this? What's gonna be this? You know, and now we have a
Yeah, I wanted to like have a plan.
It was our guinea pig. Okay, season one was guinea pig.
I think that is for anybody. Like, the first sort of year of anything is just figuring out what to do, what niche you want to fit in, what direction you want to go, how you want to almost make yourself a little bit different than the other podcasts out there, because there's a whole lot of them,
right?
So I'm hoping, and a lot of people, I had never heard about this 22 levels of gradation or evil whatever,
right?
So I was super like, what? So I'm like, I bet other people would be interested in this too. How can I do this?
Oh, how was that again? Super.
What? I went down a rabbit hole. All right.
I like that.
We're going to end this before my time runs out. And we have to start all over again.
All right. Love you.
All right, guys.
Bye, guys.
See you next time. Or not see. Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm out.
Love ya.